Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and again, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule this morning to join me on my radio program. Today is Monday, July 11th, 2022. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in on two particular Iranians, one who is in prison, and another who's in kind of a similar situation. He's in a prison in Turkey. In other words, he's a refugee trapped in Turkey and still has not received a UHNR video or interview to travel to another country. So I want to talk about the dire, difficult circumstances of Iranians this morning, one in prison and one as a refugee in Turkey. And both of them are Christians. Both of them are struggling with their faith every day. How do I deal with my circumstances? Why has God seemingly forsaken me? What can I do? What hope is there for me in the future? I'm going to take a very close look at a particular psalm in the Bible, Psalm 62, which is going to teach us of how to trust in God in the most dire, difficult, and dark circumstances. And that's what I'm going to do this morning on The Cross in the Desert. Article 18 is a Christian internet from the UK, and this particular organization is a voice for Iranian refugees, Iranian prisoners. They are a strong voice of support for those in Iran just like me. And they have spotlighted this month one particular Iranian Christian who has been in prison now for a while, and he's been adopted by the UK's all-party parliamentary group for international freedom of religion or belief. But he's been adopted. In other words, they're using his story. And this is the fifth time now that this Iranian Christian prisoner of conscience has been denied parole. Nasser Navard Goltape, he is 60 years old. He has been in prison since January 2018. That's over 4 years. He's serving a 10-year sentence for, quote, acting against national security by establishing house churches. Now, any of you that follow my program, come to my Facebook page. You understand that if you're a minority religious faith in Iran, if you're not Muslim, or if you're a Muslim in name only and you convert to Christianity, this is the response you're given to by the government: arrest, interrogation, persecution, torture, and in some cases, death, because you're not allowed to convert to Christianity. In the case of Nasser, he not only converted, but he was establishing what's called house churches that are underground churches that have to meet secretly because of the government. They're not above the ground. there are, quote, Christian churches in Iran, but they are restricted in how they can have their services and who they can preach to. These are, quote, Christians that were never Muslims. So there is some, quote, freedom for them, but believe me, it's very, very little. So Nasser has been in prison since 2018, and his charges against him, he has acted against national security. It's a crime to do anything other than follow the Muslim pathway. And he established house churches, which is a crime. He's been eligible for parole several times, and he's already served one-third of his sentence. But each and every case, when he comes up for freedom, to be set free, he's denied. His lawyer, Imam Soleimani, says he has been told that Nasser is being held as a deterrent to other Christians. There's a reason why he's denied parole. And the whole cause of this deterrent, they believe that to release him ahead of time would send out the wrong message to other Iranians who are involved in house churches. They're making him an example. Now, on top of this denial of parole, Nasser has served, like I said, one-third of his sentence, and he has suffered several health concerns during his incarceration. He was sent for an MRI scan after losing hearing in his left ear, and it affects, of course, his balance, and it's led to a number of falls, therefore a number of medical situations. But in most cases, prisoners in prison, especially Christians, are denied any real medical care. Now, it was his elderly mother who last year recorded an emotional video of what's up on YouTube and crying out for his release, but he still remains in prison. Now, Article 18 calls on Iran to free Nasser Nirvard and all other Christians detained only as a result of their personal beliefs and the peaceful outworking of that faith. So what I want to bring up his case for is that put yourself in Nasser's place as a Christian. I'm certainly sure he is supported by many Christians all over the world in prayer and in human rights, and he obviously would pray for his freedom and release, and yet each and every time the answer is no. And you can imagine that after so long a time, despair is setting in, and he's wondering, why God? Why am I going through this? Here is one other case I want to talk about this morning from Article 18. This is far more lengthy, and I have a lot of knowledge about Iranians in Turkey. My dear friend Jilla had been in Turkey for 5 years waiting for an interview, and finally, after all of this long time in Turkey, she was finally granted an interview with the UNHCR, and now, by the grace of God and much answered prayer, she is in Toronto, Canada. She has found a new country with far more freedom than obviously in Turkey and Iran. But I want to share this morning the story of Oman. He is talking about becoming a refugee in Turkey as being the worst decision of his life. So I'd like to read this article, and I want you to think through this, because Iranian refugees in Turkey have a very difficult life, and I know all about this. Sometimes, Aman says, I feel like I've wasted my whole life. Aman Ghazanian Haghaghi, he is an Iranian Christian who has been living as a refugee in Turkey for more than a decade. In 2013, he arrived at the age of 27. Well, now, obviously, he's in his late 30s. He's like 37 years old. He's still in the same place with very little apparent change to his circumstances. Well, but it's better, at least in Turkey, than living in Iran under the threat of imprisonment. I'm sure Aman would agree with that. But still, he's agonizing over living there. It's been 9 years, to be exact. His life, he says, has been put on hold, waiting for a change that has never passed. First, there was hope after his case was accepted by the UNHCR and forwarded onto the U.S. that perhaps he could resettle there. But with the change of approach, when Trump was president, you know, there was a very big push for an immigration reform, and the door was closed during that presidency. Rightly so, though, because Trump was trying to revamp this very serious situation in the immigration system, which was allowing terrorists in. So he tried to come during the Trump presidency, but the door was closed. And so it was back to the drawing board, as Imam says in this article. Countless other Iranian Christians like him, well, their case was referred back to Turkish authorities, who in many cases have been known to reject the asylum claims of several Iranian Christians previously accepted by the UN. So there is always the situation in Turkey where you could be deported back to Iran. Imam's latest hope is for resettlement in Canada, like my dear friend Jilla, with his case in the apparent final stage of that process. But for now, he's just waiting on the call. And with every day that passes, it's a weight that takes its toll. I remember speaking with Jilla many times. Her case was being reviewed. She's just waiting for a call, waiting to be relocated to Istanbul in Turkey, and then taking a flight out to Canada. And I prayed with Jilla and met with her several times. It was agonizing, but finally, at the end of 2021, she was given the call and told that by May, a few months later, that she would be able to resettle in Canada. So it does happen. And Imam is in that process right now. He's been in there for 10 years. That's five times longer than my friend Jilla. Here's what, though, he wants to share with Turkish authorities and with other Iranian Christians through this article. And for the wider church, he has a message for them. To the Turkish authorities, Imam says, he asks whether recognize how difficult it must be to host so many refugees, of whom Iranian Christians are only a tiny fraction. At the same time, he wonders whether they couldn't make life just slightly more comfortable for refugees. It's only a tiny fraction. Refugees have no right to work in Turkey. They receive no significant help from the government. Now, there is an unspoken understanding that refugees will work. They have to do it secretly, but that such work will be off the books, as they say, leaving the refugee even more vulnerable to exploitation. I know my friend Jilla, who wasn't really allowed to work if she was going to get any benefit from the government. She worked for a while in a cafe. Endless hours, never any time off. She was exploited because they knew she was desperate for work, and they knew that really she shouldn't be working. You're not allowed as a refugee in Turkey to work. So that really is physically torture for any refugee. I know for my friend Jilla. And it causes them to feel like they have no status, no identity. Now, Imam says the Turkish government will give you an ID card, but it's just a piece of paper. And you are even shy, really, to show it to anybody. You cannot even rent an apartment. You can't do anything. No bank account, nothing. You have a paper that says you can stay here, and you have to wait to the third country that is accepting refugees and will accept you as a citizen. You have no identity, no work. You need to work, but you can only work illegally, and I don't know how it looks for a Christian to work illegally, Imam says. It's not about people looking for a better life. We have just basic things. If they accepted us as citizens, for sure we would stay here. We would be happy because it's a culture that's near to ours, Imam says. And meanwhile, the sentiment within Turkey continues to grow. More and more anti-refugee, it's clear, you're not welcome. So for Christians like Imam who are still in Iran and may be considering fleeing the country due to the persecution they're experiencing there, Imam has a message. Don't come to Turkey. This is his exact words. This is the worst decision you can ever take. Your children's lives will be destroyed. He has no children, but if they he did, they would have been destroyed. Your life will be destroyed. Sometimes, Imam says, he even regrets not taking the path other friends did after leaving Iran and fleeing illegally to other European countries. My friend Maral did this with a group of refugees. So, and her situation turned out good, thank the Lord. Now, what Imam has to say to the church, please help me. It's so hard here. With a church of over 2 billion people around the world, and there's only a small group of Iranian Christians, if you could just sponsor us. There's only 500 and 600 of us here. We just need 500 families willing to help 500 refugees. That's it. It's a message close to Imam's heart, a purpose that drives him, with Imam saying that when eventually all being well, he does finally arrive in Canada, this is what he wants to do with his life, to help others who are like him, who are in a current situation devoid of hope. Some in Imam's situation have resorted to committing suicide because of the waiting and the hopelessness. He doesn't have a wife or a girlfriend. That helps a little bit, but life is so tough. No identity, little support, little hope. No idea when he could possibly go to Canada. Day by day, I'm waiting and praying that God one day does intervene. Such is the case of Imam. These are difficult circumstances for Nasser, who is in prison in Iran, and Imam, who is really held captive in Turkey. I came across a beautiful psalm that can help them and help us who are struggling with hope and despair. What does God's word say? Psalm 62 says, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long," David writes, "will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouth they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Those are words of comfort. But how does a person like Nasser or Iman put them into practice? David is addressing his adversaries. He's saying, how long will you assault me? Will you all throw me down? He is answering them. But I want to talk to you about this beautiful psalm of hope and trust written by David. David says, it's the theme of the psalm in the opening verses, my soul finds rest in God alone. The Hebrew word rest conveys the idea of silence, of being quiet, of being still. It's related to the idea of Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. It's related to the words of Jesus, peace, be still. What is rest? What is this rest that David is talking about, this inward quietness, this silence? It's calming ourselves down long enough to claim in any given situation that the presence and the promises and the providence of God, which are ours in Christ, will cure our hopeless situation. The Old Testament in Exodus 33, we see Moses was tormented by the challenges of leading the Israelites through the wilderness. He was quite nervous, of course. He said to the Lord, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This was the promise of God to Moses in this difficult situation of leading the Israelites through the wilderness. And Jesus says the same thing in the New Testament. He made the same point when the disciples were tormented by the imprisonment of John the Baptist and being rejected in Galilee. The disciples were frazzled. They were upset. They were hopeless. Jesus told them in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." There are only two places in the Bible where we see that particular phrase repeated word for word, "and I will give you rest." Yahweh said it to Moses in Exodus 33. And Jesus said, in essence, by the way, that promise wasn't just for Moses, it's for you, and it extended to you through me. Our Lord Jesus took it upon himself to repeat verbatim the promise Jehovah God gave to Moses in Exodus 33 and to issue it from himself in his own authority and to extend it to all of his followers. This means to you. Psalm 62, which we're reading this morning, midway through the psalm, it makes it very personal. David says, "My soul find rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never." This is the banner through which we should enter each day and through which we should exit each night. This declaration, my soul finds intimacy, it finds rest, it finds trust, it finds hope in God alone. My salvation comes through him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I think of Nasser and Imam in their situation, and they are both Christians, and they certainly would be familiar with this beautiful psalm. But understand, they're in a difficult situation. It is traumatic what they're going through, and yet Jesus invites us to find rest and hope in him alone. What does this look like? What does hope look like? Well, let me give you an example. George Mueller is said to have read the Bible more than 200 times, many of those times on his knees. And before his death, he was asked by a reporter what he would still like to do. He, on his knees, replied, "To read more of the Bible because I know too little about the excellence of Christ." Well, what about George Mueller? He was an evangelical Christian. He was a director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for over 10,000 orphans throughout his life. Based on God's promise found in Psalm 68:5, God is a father to the orphans. He cared for these children. He provided education for them. He founded 117 schools to 120,000 children, many of them without parents, they're orphans. He said, "If I, a poor man, can build and administer in an orphanage without asking anyone for money or assistance, only through prayer and faith, this, together with the blessing of the Lord, could encourage God's children in faith, being also a powerful testimony to the unbelievers about the existence of God." On the day of his funeral, thousands of people came to pay their last respects to the man who was transformed by God from a thief who had one time betrayed his closest friends, to a man who put himself at God's disposal and raised the equivalent of $180 million through prayer and faith in Jesus to help orphans. He says of his conversion, "When I surrendered myself totally to God, the love of money was gone. The love of a home was gone. The affection of wealth was gone. The love of worldly things was gone. God has become my everything. I found everything in him. There is nothing else I wanted. And I stayed with him, a happy man, a very happy man, seeking to only accomplish the things of God." Well, let me tell you what, that is such an encouragement and such an inspiration to me, his life of faith and courage. George Mueller says, "God is real. He is a God in whom you can trust. It is sufficient to trust in the living God, not worry about earthly things. For the beginning of worry is the end of faith. and the beginning of faith is the end of worry. You want to know what it looks like to trust God? Look at George Mueller in England in the 19th century, who helped thousands of orphans who depended on God for their very next daily food and need and money. And through prayer and faith, God poured out his blessings upon George Mueller because he counted totally on God. Now that is the message we need to take a hold of. Psalm 62 says we can find our rest in God alone, our trust in God alone, when it is a strong, dependent trust, when we have availed ourselves of all of our own efforts and we lie prostrate before God and we rest in his salvation. We rest in him alone. Look what he did for George Mueller. He will do the same for Nasser in prison. He will do the same for Iman in Turkey, because he is the God that gives hope, that gives salvation, that gives purpose to our life. And so this morning, what I'm asking all of us to do, and I ask this every time, you want to reach out to these Iranian Christians who are in hopeless situations. We've just read what pleases God is that rest in him, that hope we find in trusting in him alone. And we've seen an example of what real trust looks like in the life of George Mueller. What can you and I do to help Nasser? We can pray that they find their hope and their rest in God alone through their difficult circumstances. And as they seek him, and as they trust him that God would abundantly pour out his blessings on them and hear their cries and give them freedom. I know from experience the number of people that I have over a period of time spoke with, counseled, and prayed for, my Iranian friends, and eventually God opened the door for them to become citizens in a free country. In the recent situation, I'm speaking of my friend Gila, who is now safe in Toronto, Canada. It took a long time, but we stayed together, prayed together. We hoped and found our rest in God, and he rewarded us. He is a faithful God. What he did for George Mueller, he will do for Iman in Turkey and Nasser in Iran. And so this morning, I ask that you pray for these two Iranian Christians, share this program, but most importantly, in your life of struggle and despair, just spend some time in Psalm 62 and receive the rest and the comfort that the God of hope wants to give you. This is his word. My soul finds rest in God alone was the cry of David's heart. Let it be the cry of your heart this morning in whatever situation you find yourself in. Thank you so much for listening to The Cross in the Desert. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday at 9:30 Central Standard Time. God bless you.